Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, if you will. We're going to be talking about miracles of sight and speech. We've been looking at 10 miracles in Matthew, his recording of these miracles. And we've been looking a little deeper behind them about the truth behind the miracle, because behind every all these 10 miracles, and we'll finish this section today before we get into all the king's men in chapter 10, the calling of the apostles. But all of them display the power and authority of Jesus. And all of us teach us a truth that goes beyond what he's doing right there in the healing. Jesus didn't heal just to heal. He healed for a reason, okay? And so everybody today wants a healing Jesus, but they don't want the prophetic teaching that goes behind the healing. And that's what we're going to be looking at today as we look at the last two blind men and the dumb man or the mute man as you look. And he shows his compassion with the healing of the two blind men again, and he shows his messiahship again with the healing of the mute man. And remember the five reasons why Jesus healed? We went over all of them, you know, all every week except this week. But we're going to be looking at these. Remember the leper, the centurion's servant, the Peter's mother-in-law, the storm, the two demoniacs, the man with palsy, raising Jairus, his daughter, healed the woman with the issue of blood, and then we're going to look at the last two. So let's look, first of all, if you will, in Matthew chapter 9. We're going to begin in verse 27. Verse 27 through 31, we see the healing of the two blind men. In 32 and 33, we see the healing of the mute man, or the man who is unable to speak. Let's look in verse 31. And we're going to follow our outline we've been looking at, the miracle explained and then the miracle applied. Okay? Let's look at the miracle explained, first of all, in verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he had come into the house, the two blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." You remember, Jesus healed people many different ways. He'd even heal people who did not pronounce faith, right? But this man did. So sometimes it was physical touch, sometimes he just pronounced it, you know, whatever. He said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their ears were opened. Their eyes were opened. Boy, that was fast, thank you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man knoweth it." Now, you are right. I was right in a way, because I'm going to be talking about some people whose ears were not opened in just a second here. "See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame." Now that does not talk about fame as we use it today. "In all that country." Now, I want to look at this miracle, first of all, the miracle explained. In verse 27, see that we're not told why these two men were blind. We're not told if they were blind from birth. We're not told if they had some kind of illness that came upon them and caused them to be blind. But this blindness, I understand in my studies, was a serious problem in the Middle East in that day. The records state that Jesus healed at least six blind men, and each case was different. In verse 27, we also see that these two blind men acknowledge Christ as the Son of David. Look in verse 27 again. And he said, two blind men followed him crying, saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." That is a messianic title. Jesus was the Son of David in the lineage of David. And you can read back about it and go back to Matthew 1:1 and you see it. He was the Son of David. The Messiah will be born in the lineage of David, the king. And they followed him. They persisted. They followed him into the house. No doubt, probably, they had somebody to help them. But they made their way into the house. So they made a confession of faith that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, "Thou Son of David." And by the way, me and John were talking about that this morning. We've got the rapture, the tribulation, and then the millennial kingdom that's going to come at the second coming when Christ comes and sets up his kingdom reign in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And then he will fulfill the promise to David, the promise to Abraham. He's going to sit on the throne of his father David. And for 1,000 years, Christ will reign and rule. And then you got the other events that happen, and then the eternal state in Revelation 21 and 22. So So he honored their faith in verse 28. Notice that. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came and said unto him, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. He honored their faith. Yes, yea, Lord. He had made a confession of faith that released his power for healing of their sight, and it would be restored. Verse 30. And their eyes were opened, and straightly charged them, saying, You see, you tell that no man know it. Of course, it wasn't his time yet. The hour had not come, right? And they go out and spread it, of course, that way. Jesus, it's interesting that Jesus tells them not to spread it, and they do, and Jesus tells us to spread it, and we don't, right? It's kind of amazing, isn't it? Blindness is a picture of spiritual ignorance and unbelief in the Bible. The sinner must be born again before he can see the things of God, John 3:3. See, they're blind because of spiritual unbelief. They can't see spiritual things. Neither do they understand them. But there are believers today who still, in spiritual ignorance, are blind to truths when God reveals them to us. Okay? And the believer must be careful to grow spiritually, or he will damage his spiritual vision. You know you can damage your spiritual vision? There's ways you can damage your physical vision, and there are ways you can damage your spiritual vision. I like what 2 Peter 1:5-9 says, talking about adding to our faith once we're saved. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For in all these things be in you, and abound you may, that you may shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are people sitting in our churches today that are unfruitful and lack the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's possible for a lost person to be blind. Yes, they're blind to spiritual truth. But it's possible for a believer that doesn't study their Bible and doesn't walk in the Spirit to be blind as well as far as spiritual truth. You know, this man here, he was blind, but he saw better than the scribes and Pharisees. You know, he saw more than what they saw, right? They were spiritually blind. But here was this man, he was blind. I assume he heard about Jesus or whatever, you know. But he knew he was coming that way, and he made, you know, and it all worked out, and he knew that Jesus was the Messiah, and that he had power to do whatever, the power to heal, the water, forgiveness of sins, and purge us from our own sins. Now, that's an amazing truth, isn't it? You ever been around anybody that's blind? Physically, I've been around a lot of people that are spiritually blind. But you ever been around anybody that's physically blind? Do you know their senses are better than yours? God takes their blindness and develops the other four senses where they can be more keenly aware of what's going on. Y'all know that? I mean, when I worked at Georgia Southwestern from 70 to 80, before I got tired of doing that, there was a blind man on my unit. And, I mean, he could see more than I could see. One day he told me, he says, I bet I can tell you how tall you are and what your weight is. And I said, how can you do that? You can't see. But he senses the forceness of the walk and the heaviness of the walk and the sound of the walk. And he told me my weight, you know. That's back then when I were heavier than what I was now, right? But God develops that. Do you know, have you ever heard people, a blind person say, you know, they thank God for their blindness because they're more keenly aware of what's going on, right? Faye and I went to see Ronnie Millsap one time in a concert. Where did we go, Faye? Tallahassee? We only saw two or three in concert. Ronnie Millsap, we saw Neil Diamond, and we saw John Denver. Well, I ain't going to tell him that. He's a tree hugger. But John Denver and J.T. Thomas and Ortega, what his name is? Fernando Ortega, we went to see him. And I done forgot where I was going with that. But, he had it planned out before. We didn't know that. He's blind, And before the thing ever started, he had measured with his feet where the edge of the platform was. And so here he is in the middle of the concert, and then he starts walking to the edge, and everybody's going, he's going to fall. But he had it measured out, right? And, it's remarkable. Don't ever feel that blind people are unfortunate. Folks, they're more blessed than we are, right? And guess what? We who are see the light of God, we are more blessed than those who are not, right? That's what I tried to get across to the Sunday school class this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Our inheritance in Christ is secure. But folks, we don't need to walk around stepping on our lower jaw every day, right? We don't need to walk around saying, woe is me. You know, look at what's happening in our world. Listen, what's happening in our world is the way God told us it was going to happen, right? So I would say to you, suck it up and be a man, right? Well, except for ladies, be a woman, right? Just submit to his will, whatever happens, right? And go. Be who you are and act like who you are, right? And so this man was blessed. Okay, let's look at how the miracle is applied here in two truths. Number one, verse 27, Jesus is merciful even in the midst of our suffering. We say, well, God doesn't care. God doesn't know what's happening to me. He doesn't love me. Look at what's happening. We blame everything on God, don't we? Right? Why did God take both my parents in a week? I don't know. But God is sovereign, right? And it's been counted to us to live in tribulation, folks. And he has given us the resources that we need to do that. But we don't grieve as other people who have no hope. So Jesus is merciful even in the midst of our suffering. Even when he doesn't heal us, he's just and holy, right? And merciful, right? This is one thing. Y'all know what gets my goat. Whenever there's a healing, somebody say, God is good. All the time, but yes, he's still good if he doesn't heal, right? Right? He's still good. So Jesus is merciful even in the midst of our suffering. But then the second application here we want to see in this healing is in Matthew 1:1 and Matthew 27. Jesus is the promised Messiah. That's why he healed this man, because it pointed to the fact that he is the Messiah. And I'll explain that in just a minute. Son of David is a messianic title. They recognize Jesus as the Messiah because of the promise of Isaiah 35:5. When the Messiah would come, the eyes of the blind would be opened. So he healed this blind man, and the six other times he did that to show that he is the Messiah, right? Yes, he had compassion. But the main thing behind it is he's showing the signs that the Jews rejected. Show us a sign, and he did over and over. He did what the Messiah would do when he got here, and yet they still rejected him. So even in their blindness, they saw what the Pharisees could not see. See, this is the truth I want you to know. You see Jesus with spiritual eyes, not with physical eyes. One day we'll see him physically, right? But unless the eyes of your understanding be opened, you can't see him. You heard what Jesus and other gospel writers said, seeing you don't see, right? A lot of people are listening, but they're not hearing, or they're hearing and not listening, right? And the natural man can't see and understand the things of the Spirit because they're foreign to them. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So I would say to you right here, the dead, they are dead, blind, and dumb. Right? But praise God, we've been delivered. Amen? We can see. We're not dead. We're spiritually alive. We're not blind to spiritual truth. And we can speak that spiritual truth. Now let's look at the dumb man. King James says dumb man. That's what we go with. The mute man, if you will. Look at verse 32 through 34. And as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. That doesn't mean he has a low IQ. He couldn't speak. Possessed with a devil. Now we're presented with something else. The blind men were blind. We're not told why, but this man was mute because of a demon. Okay? Now look at it. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb man spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Why? Because he's doing the things that the Messiah is supposed to do when he comes. The blind will see, the mute will speak, right? But yet, they said it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And so Jesus went on. Now let's look at this miracle explained, first of all. In verse 32 through 33, the final miracle in this series of these 10 miracles that Matthew records, a demon made a man dumb or speechless. Now, I looked at that a little deeper. The dumb means it could be a deaf in hearing or a dumb in speech. But we know that he's talking about in speech because verse 33 says he spoke. That's why he was mute and he was dumb and he was speechless. So this man wasn't hard of hearing, he could not speak, right? Now, while there's a difference between sicknesses and demonic workings, the demons do have the power to cause physical afflictions. We learn that from the book of Job, right? God will use the devil to send affliction in our life to do a work in our life. Now, that's hard to accept, isn't it? But that's what the Bible teaches. And he can only have the power over us that God allows. Don't give him too much credit. Don't wake up in the morning and say, the devil tried to kill me last night. If God wants you dead, you'll be dead, right? So this man here, though, he was mute because of a demon. Think of a handicap that would be, right? I mean, but again, if you can't talk, there's other ways of your sensory perceptions being developed. Remember the missionary that was with us a few weeks ago, right? So, a demon made him mute. And the people admitted that this was a new thing in Israel. Why? Because Jesus is the Messiah who has the ability to make the blind see and the mute speak, but yet they denied it. Notice verse 34. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devil. See, you would think that they would be rejoicing this man can speak, you know, and they would say, and you know, hey, look what happened down here. No, they were jealous and envious, and they attributed his work to the devil. That is the true blasphemy of the Holy Spirit that you find in Matthew. To attribute the works of Christ to the devil, the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil. And if you go and persist in that way, there's no way you can be saved. Now, think about this. In this case, the demon had made the man mute. He was handicapped, yes. But when Jesus healed him, he could speak. Boy, don't you think they couldn't shut him up, right? They couldn't shut him up, right? Because he had seen what the Master can do. And it ought to be that way with us, right? I want to talk a little bit about that tonight in our prayer life as we study the Bible, how to read and study the Bible. There's two individual groups in our world that you can learn how to pray from. I'll tell you who they are tonight. Okay, you got to come back to hear it, right? Now, they would repeat this charge later in the Gospels. You know, they said he does it by the power of the devil. And what they were saying later on, they would say he does it by Beelzebub, the prince of the demonic demons, right? Now let's apply this miracle quickly. This miracle proves Jesus is the promised Messiah. Because in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, and now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Now think about this now. Let's back up here a minute. Here was prison, John in prison, the forerunner of Christ. Yet he was in prison, about to be beheaded. And look at him. He said, God, if you were in his position, you'd say, God, I've been preaching about the Messiah to come in repentance. Why can't I hang around and see this? But yet it wasn't God's sovereign will. Follow me? Right? He was about to be beheaded. And his disciples, two of his disciples, John's disciples, come to him and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. In other words, go share John the things that you hear and see that line up with the promise in the Old Testament of what the Messiah will do when he comes. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And so Jesus cast out demons, not because he is the devil, but because he is God who overcome the devil. Amen? So we see in the kingdom age as well. Me and John, again, we're talking about the millennium this morning on the phone. John teaches our young adults or middle-aged adults. He has about 14, 12 in there. And we were talking about the millennium, Isaiah 35:3. It's interesting in Isaiah, when Isaiah says new heavens and earth, he's talking about the millennial kingdom. The new heavens and the earth talked about in Revelation 21 and 22 is the eternal state. But Isaiah 35:3 says this, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that thou art filled for heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame leap as a hart or deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and the streams in the desert. Thought just struck me as I read that verse. We have people actually in our church who stand up with a hymnal or without a hymnal and don't even open their mouth when it comes time to sing. Do you know that? Y'all had them in churches you've been in, right? Please do this. Get your hymnal, open it up, and move your lips, right? Act like you're singing. Don't you think a man who cannot speak would give anything he could to sing a hymn? So Satan can't receive and understand truth. This is what he's teaching us here. This is why we see the world in the shape it's in. Satan can't receive and understand truth. Therefore, he lies, and his followers lie. I have never seen so many lies the last 4 years. And they can look right in the camera and lie, and people believe them, right? We see that in our world today. They're dead, they're blind, and they're dumb. They can't speak truth. Father, I pray today that as we look at these 10 miracles in Matthew, I pray, Father, that you would use them to our light. That when we see a miracle in the Gospels again, we'll look at it in a different light. There's 5 reasons why Jesus healed. And Lord, I just pray, one of those is that he reveals that he is the Messiah. And he will come, as Isaiah said, he will come one day. And the just will be punished. The unjust will be punished. The just will be rewarded. They can't put the finger in God's eye and mock him and get by with it. America can't kill 61 babies and license gay marriage and get by with it. There's a just recompense. Judgment always comes later than we sow, more than we sow, and more than we sow. So, Father, I thank you that we're in the part of the just that by your grace and your mercy, we're going to be out of here one day, and we're looking forward to that time of the rapture. This world is going to continue to grow worse and worse and worse. Regardless of what the prosperity gospel preachers say, there's a new thing coming and this and that and other. No, the only new thing coming is you. And you're going to come and rescue your church from this terrible, corrupted world. And that is our hope. This morning, if there's one that does not have that hope, they never heard of Jesus. They never heard they were a sinner. They never heard that Jesus died for our sins on the cross as the only righteous one sent from heaven who rose from the grave on the third day. They may have never heard that. Again, you got to have a basis for forgiveness, and it's not us because we're sinners. That basis is the righteous life of Christ that died in our place on Calvary and took the wrath intended for us that we might have his life. And it's for you today if you just say, Lord, I repent. I'm a sinner. I believe you are the Son of God, eternal Son of God. Can't say anymore just the Son of God because even the cults may say they believe he's the Son of God, but they don't believe he's the eternal Son of God, who always was. And that he died for me in my place, and I receive him as my Lord and Savior. Maybe today you'd like to do that. We want to give you an opportunity in just a few moments to do that. For our church people and our Christians, I would say this today. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Everything goes around him. Keep your eyes on Israel. Everything goes around them. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.